Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but I, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before your presence today to give you glory and honor because you are God. You are the only God. And so we bring our worship and our praise before you because we owe you all. Father, we want to thank you first of all for Jesus Christ, our Savior. The sacrifice for our sin, and through His sacrifice, Lord, we have eternal life. We thank you for the privilege of being in this service today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this service today. And pray that you will freely move among us in a mighty way. That you would convict of sin. That you would comfort those who need encouragement. But Lord, that you would draw all men to you so that when we leave here today, we will know that not only have we been in your presence, but that we have made all things right in your presence. Lord, we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, we're continuing our study, of course, on worship. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service." I want you to realize, so often when we think of worship, we think of this environment. And this environment is great. But I don't want you to think worship is limited to this environment, coming to church and being among God's people. Worship, the idea behind worship is that it be a daily thing. And it's not that we walk down the street singing hymns. That's not it. But that we worship God by the way that we live. And the way that we live should reflect the glory of our God. First question we've got to ask ourselves, number one, is it worship or is it a war? We look at Joshua and the text that we just read, and we're talking about the nation of Israel. They have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they have crossed the Jordan River, and they're near the city of Jericho, which is their first city of conquest. Now, you've got to kind of put yourself in their shoes. For 40 years, they've been waiting on the promise of God to receive this promised land. Now, as they've crossed Jordan, they see that first city, the city of Jericho, in sight. That's the first conquest. It has to be an exciting time. They're thinking, "Man, we've waited forever for this." They're thinking, "Let's go. Let's take the land that God has given us." And now, as Joshua and Israel move closer to that city of Jericho, he sees a man standing in front of him, between him and the city. And this man, of course, we know it's an angel because we're reading this, but he didn't know at the time. But he sees this man with his sword drawn, ready to fight. And so Joshua, as any good man would do, approaches that person and he says, "Are you for us or are you against us? If you're for us, get in line. We're going to go wipe Jericho out. If you're against us, keep that sword out, buddy, because we're fixing to get with it right here and right now." See, Joshua's got this attitude of, let's do it. Bull in the china shop attitude, if you will. And I love the response of that angel. Joshua says, whose side are you on? That angel's like, I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I have come as the commander of the armies of the Lord. I am on God's side. You know, sometimes we lose sight of that. The culture and it's just kind of the way we're naturally bent. We want to choose sides. As a matter of fact, most people are looking for the next great cause to join. And because of that mentality, we live in an age where it's us against them. For example, Democrats against Republicans. We all know God's a Republican. I'm kidding. No, oh me. If you're watching at home, no, I was kidding. God is not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. God is God. But because of our mentality, we think it's the us against them. The racial problems that we have today. It's white against black. And because of the way it's played today, there are a lot of white people that think all black people are bad. And there are a lot of black people who think all white people are bad. No! No! I want to tell you, there's bad people. It does not matter the color of their skin. It's not a race thing. It's conservative, you know, with a lot of people, it's conservative against liberal, right against left, capitalism against socialism. Right? The latest is, let's fight over the Confederate statues. Bless their heart. Here's the us against them. This is what it leads to: bitterness and hatred. Which is where we are as a nation right now, because it's always, are you on my side or are you on the wrong side? Well, the reality is there's only one side, and it's God's side. And we're being baited into the battle today because the media presents it that all white people are bigots or all black people are bad. And so it's that get on your side and let's go to war. No, they're tearing our country apart by the us against them mentality. No, it's not us against them. One of the hardest things that we have to do as a people and as God's people is to stop fighting against people and start fighting for the Lord. You see, we're not, it's what this angel is trying to point out to Joshua. Joshua is not your side. You don't have a side, Joshua. It's God's side. Period. End of conversation. You want to know how to stop hating people? Start loving Jesus. That would cure everything. See, if we love Jesus, the bigotry will stop. Because if we love Jesus, Jesus died for all. If we love Jesus, there be no discrimination. Because Jesus didn't die for color or race. If we love Jesus, our actions and our words will reflect the teachings of Jesus, which were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If our conduct does not reflect those two things, my friend, we are wrong. Don't choose sides. Don't choose sides today. That's what Satan wants to do to this country. That's what Satan wants to do to our churches. No, that's not who we are. And if we're going to live a lifestyle of worship, we're going to have to set the example of love so they can see, so the world can see what an awesome God that we truly have. Second thing, worship with submission. Worship is always submissive. The angel responds again, and he's, when Joshua asked, "Whose side are you on?" "I'm here as the commander of the army of the Lord." And Joshua, you can just see his mentality change. You know, Joshua's ready. "All right, whose side are you on? Are we about to go at it? Are you going to get with us?" And when he says, "I'm the commander of the armies of the Lord," Joshua fell to his face. You know what? That's literally what the word worship means. It means to prostrate oneself and as you fall down and that face goes to the ground because you're in the presence of God. That's what he did. It carries the idea of humility and submission. And what Joshua is doing here when he realizes who this guy is, he's relinquishing command. See, Joshua thinks, "I'm the leader of Israel." And he's marching toward the city of Jerusalem, or the city of Jericho, and this angel says, "Oh no, pal, I'm the leader of God's army. That outranks you." And so Joshua just falls to the ground. And I love his response here. He says, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" I mean, what are you going to say? As you're bowed before this angel who's representing God's army, are you going to say, "Well, you know, no, I'm not. I'm supposed to be the leader." No. Joshua did what anybody should do. "Okay, Lord, speak. I'm listening." You see, the surrender there. Isn't that what worship is? Again, worship is to bow down. And I want to ask you today. Sometimes I get on you about coming to the altar, and we should come to the altar, and we should bow before the Lord. But do you bow down? Have you bowed to the Lord, or surrendered your entire life, not 10 minutes of prayer, but surrendered your entire life to the Lord, so that you know and God knows that He can direct you in any direction and you'll do it? You know, people today are afraid. They're afraid of this total surrender that I'm talking about. They're afraid to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant here is listening," because they're afraid what God's going to tell them. Yeah? They're afraid that God's going to call them to the mission field or call them to preach and make me go to a land far, far away and live in poverty the rest of my life. Where do we get that? No. No. Let me help you with surrendering to God. Get everybody's attention. And let me help you with what that looks like. Okay? First thing you need to understand. God probably has you where He wants you. God, you know, if you're afraid, "God's going to move me to Africa." Well, wait a minute. If God wanted you in Africa, He'll put you in Africa. Right? He can move you. He can use family to do it. You know, maybe you've got to go take care of your parents that are aging. Maybe there's other family responsibilities. God can move you if He wants to move you. Don't say, "Well, I'm not surrendering because I'm afraid what God will do." Listen, He can move you whenever He gets good and ready. He can change your job. So the first thing you understand is God has you where He wants you. He has placed you where you are. So never be afraid because of where God may send you. Second thing, God doesn't need you to be great where you are. He needs you to be faithful where you are. See, most people think bowing down, God wants to make me a great Billy Graham evangelist or something. No. You see, the idea of surrender means that you're going to build, base your life that you have around God, right here and right now. As I said, God may not make a Billy Graham out of you, but what He does want you to be is faithful. Number one, faithful in church. Come to church. I know we're in COVID. We're not even going to address the COVID issues. But listen, church should be a vital part of every life of a believer. Period. God doesn't want you to be great. He wants you to be faithful in church attendance. He wants you to love the people that are in your life right now. A lot of people, you know, have the mentality of, God's going to send me to this foreign land to minister to these off the beaten path people. How are you ministering where you are, right here, right now? Before God sends you over there, you got to get good at it here first. You see, we're still talking worship. We're talking complete surrender. God needs you to be faithful in prayer. How's your prayer life? Did Wednesday on the Wednesday in the Word about prayer, you know, and Wednesday night. Let me tell you, the Wednesday night prayer service was such a blessing to this pastor last Wednesday. And I know there are some that couldn't come. I get it. You know, everybody can't do everything. I get that. I understand. But let me tell you, there were several who came. And when we walked in this auditorium, you could tell things were different. It was quiet. People were at the altar. People were sitting on pews, praying and just conversing and fellowshipping with God. Listen, if there's anything that's going to make a difference in our country, it's prayer. Okay? Be faithful in prayer. If you can't come to our prayer service, you make sure it's a vital part of every day. Or you're spending time, quality time, with God. He needs to be you to be faithful in your Bible study. He needs to, you to be faithful in your witness. He just wants to command you right where you are in your life right now. That's what worship looks like. Oh, Lord, you want me to share Jesus with my friends? Absolutely. Oh, Lord, you want me to minister to this person in need? Absolutely. See, that's what surrender looks like. That's what a life of worship looks like. It's saying, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. Third thing about a life of worship. It's a life of reverence. A life of respect. I love, once again, Joshua bows down and he says, speak, Lord, your servant hears. What does the Lord, my Lord have to say to his servant? You want me to go storm the walls of Jericho? Do you want me to take on a whole battalion of men by myself? What is it you want me to do? And the angel simply said, take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing is holy. You know, often we want to see and God do great things through us, and we're waiting for that big command. But I'm going to tell you what, it starts with a reverence toward God. Worship begins with acknowledging God for who He truly is. That word holy that is used in the text, it means sacred or set apart, a place for worship. God's expectation of Joshua at this point, before he goes to war, his expectation is very simple. Just show me reverence in my presence. And as soon as Joshua realizes who he's dealing with, oh, he gets on, he's on the ground and he's showing reverence. I want to tell you what, that's an area that our culture has completely lost, is a reverence toward God. People for years have portrayed God. And let me be sure that I have everybody's attention at this point. Say amen if you're listening. Amen. Okay. Balcony, say amen if you're listening. Okay. I'm going to give y'all credit because y'all are a little farther away. I couldn't hear you as well, right? But I'm going to trust everybody right now is listening. Young and old. For years, people have and preachers have portrayed God as this all-around super nice guy who's everyone's buddy. That my pal God would never judge. My pal God would never condemn anyone or anything. Well, let me correct you. God's not your pal. He's not a buddy. He's the God of the universe. He spoke this creation into existence. You see, this buddy-pal mentality has brought our culture where we are today. And we have become the flip-flop coffee house generation. We march into worship with our t-shirt, shorts, flip-flops, and Starbucks coffee in our hand. We don't need our Bibles anymore because it's all painted on the walls for us. And I know, we put it up there, I know. But let me ask you something. Is that the way you would approach the leader of the free world? If you were going to have a meeting with the President of the United States, and let's lay aside the politics. You have a meeting with the President of the United States. Are you going to put on your flip-flops and the rattiest t-shirt that you have and walk in with the Starbucks coffee saying, "Hey dude, how's it going?" No. You're going to put on appropriate clothing. And you're going to walk in there clean. And you're going to say, "Good afternoon, Mr. President. Thank you for giving me audience." And you're going to show him the respect due his office. Okay? Why? Because he's the president. You say, "Oh, not me, Brother Doug. I don't like the president." No, lay that aside. Let's say you like the president, okay? I'm not talking about politics, I'm talking about the office. You respect the office. You reverence the office. And when you went in there, and you're visiting with the President of the United States, and you, after 10 minutes, get up and say, "Excuse me, Mr. President, I got to go to the bathroom." You walk out. Do you do that? You never would. Now listen, I want to make myself real clear on something. I'm not talking about babies here. Right? I love my babies. I love them. And I realize, okay, sometimes you got to take babies out. I understand that. Okay? But if I'm a preacher that can't deal with babies, I got a problem. Right? But I've also got another problem. With adults standing up in the middle of a worship service and walking out that door to go to the bathroom. You would not treat the President of the United States that way. Why would you do God that way? There comes a point, and I understand there are exceptions to every rule. I understand that. Okay? There comes a point where God's worthy of your full attention. You don't get up in the middle of a preaching service in the middle of a song service and say, "Hold on, God. You take care of that before you come in." And I want to tell you something else, parents. Your kids don't do that at school. It's what they have recess for. Teacher tell them, go take care of it before you come back in. So when we come in here, we're here to do business with God. Not to get up and get a drink of water. Not to get up and go to the restroom. We're here to honor God. Don't interrupt the worship of God by taking a little stroll. Teenagers, listen to that. Okay? Adults, listen to that. Treat God with respect. You see, we've forgotten with this coffee house mentality, we've forgotten what we're here for. We're not here for a show. We're not here to turn on the lights and to rock and roll. We're here to reverence the Creator of the universe. That's what worship is. When we realize that it's not about my enjoyment, you know, well, I like this kind of music. I like another kind of music. Too many old people there for me. Too many young people there for me. Too many. Guys, no, it's not us against them. It's a God thing. Let's worship Him as God. Do you understand the privilege that you have been given to come before His presence? In the Old Testament, they would bring their sacrifices to the priest, and the priest would offer their sacrifices. And today, after the ultimate sacrifice has been offered, it was Jesus Christ, and that middle wall of the partition has been opened, now you, as an individual, have the right and the privilege to go before the Creator of this universe yourself. Do you understand that today we're all on holy ground? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, I'm in their presence. You see, we've forgotten all that. We've gotten into the mentality of pleasing people, doing shows, and we've left out the God of the universe. The God that at His Word can take my life, or He can give me life. Worship has to have reverence. Otherwise, it's a waste. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to share with you the great love that God has shown towards you. You and I both know that as a man, you're in trouble. As a woman, you're in trouble. Because you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That makes you in need of a Savior. Now the God of this universe gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, live as a man, and He went to the cross of Calvary and died for your sin. Because somebody had to pay your sin. Pay for your sin. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, people have sat through that message for 2,000 years since Jesus gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. And this morning, you're sitting here today thinking, it's just another church service. You're sitting here today, ready to walk out, having never done business with Jesus. Listen, I just want us to stop And I want to challenge you. I want to offer you this. You're bound for hell without Jesus. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you the truth. No man comes to God the Father except through Jesus. You have to make a choice to do business with Jesus this morning or to walk out of here bound for hell. The choice is yours. The Bible also tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You realize you're a prayer away from salvation. I want to invite you in this invitation to come, to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, God has done everything for you that He could do to deliver you from sin. But He has given you a choice. And you're the only one that can make that choice. He will not make you. He will not drag you by the ear and say, bow down before me. But He's given you the opportunity to do that this morning. Will you come? Maybe you're here today and I'll tell you, this message was a little bit convicting. Well, no, it was a lot convicting for me before I preached it. Because it reminded me so often I come through those doors and I lack respect and I lack reverence. And it made me want to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I have come into Your service without reverence. Maybe you're in that boat. You can come to the altar. You can bow your head where you are. But I challenge you. From this point forward, let us all approach our great Creator, God, with all the reverence and respect due His holy name. Maybe you're here and there's another need. What I know is that Jesus is the answer, and He's given you an opportunity to respond. I'll help you any way that I can if you'll come during this invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the reminder today. We don't have a side. We have a Savior. Father, we're reminded today to be respectful and reverent when we come into Your presence. Father, I pray that You will interact with us during this invitation. And give us the heart to interact with You as our great God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.